not much point in having a discussion if we don't have quorum. So it looks like there was actually a good number of people that have left. So we're going to do a quick count, okay? And then we'll go from there. And so just a quick note here. The vote is for members only, so anyone who is a non-member does not get an opportunity to vote here. So I only see at least three here who are non-members. So at least three. So just bearing in mind that that please don't take a ballot if we get to that phase. Just one second. Aiden, what's wrong? Did you find her? Okay. Sorry. Children got separated, and I wanted them to stick together before their mom comes to grab them. So just give me a moment here. Okay, so Ruth counts 83 here in the room. Pardon me?
Based on the old constitution, we still have subtract members that live in the province also.
Right. So that's why I just grabbed the AGM from last year. So we had 360. We have to subtract those not living within a 25-kilometer radius of Winnipeg. Not the province, 25-kilometer radius of Winnipeg. So now we have to count just... trying to do a little bit of math in my head here of how many of those people are. The number I came up with was 84. Yours is 81. We currently have 83 in the room. Was Phil counted the first time through, though, is the question. Yes? Okay. And did we count, I'm not meaning to call anybody out because I need to make sure of this, did we count Tim and... sorry, Stephanie, or Matt sitting here as well. Is Matt a member? Okay. 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 Okay, can we do one more count, please? Thank you. I don't want to waste anybody's time if we don't have enough people, so not including those two. So based on what's in our annual general meeting, I just did another quick count here. And I believe Lil and her husband just moved back into the city. Is that correct? So they don't necessarily count on the out of the 25-kilometer radius number. So taking what our number was, 360 as of December 31st, minusing the 16 people who are listed as living out of the province or... and then doing a little bit of calculation there about a couple of people we know are outside the 25-kilometer radius, the number is, on my calculator, 86, which is what we have. Go ahead. That I did not take in, agreed. I can appreciate that. I'm just going by what's in the AGM report, right? So I think we're close, we're right on the precipice, the edge of the knife there, but I think we're teetering more to the side that we need. So we have 86 here. As you say, we take off those seven, the minus seven, and then, so we'll call it 85 is what we need. Are there any objections to calling it 85 is what we need? I just want to make sure we're all on board here, that we have enough. We do agree that 86 is a good number for us. Okay. I'm not hearing or seeing any objections, no hands. So at this point, I will, seeing as how we do indeed have quorum, what I will do is open it up, if there are any questions before we begin. At some point, I will also be calling for a motion to accept, and then I'll need a seconder for that as well. and we can continue the discussion, but again, I open it up to the floor if anyone has any commentary. And Charles does. Gary, do we have a... Can I take one of these mics? They're all on? Okay.
Thank you. As far as I can see, that there's nothing really wrong with the Constitution except two places where I take a strenuous objection. Bear in mind that I love you all, even Chris. And
thank you, I think.
I don't always like you all, but then again, it's kind of mutual. And we say our piece in this congregation. A few years ago, I followed and went through all the hoops that it took to get an amendment to the Constitution before council. In fact, I got more signatures than the 5% that they said was required. Now, the history of the church is not really relevant to my comments today. Okay? But for two reasons, I made the request for the amendment. That was, number one, 75%, less than 75%, does not mean immediate dismissal of a minister. It means get better. How can you speak to the congregation? What is it that they want to see? Okay? And so, therefore, I mentioned a number at 60-40. I guess that could have been discussed. But never once, in these last number of years, did the last three councils ask me to come up and defend it, to speak about it. Nothing. The second point about this is when 30% of a church, doesn't matter the history, when 30% of the church controls 70% of the church, there is a problem, a big problem. The minister is a big boy. He can decide. If he gets 66%, he can say, well, this environment is too hostile. I don't think I'll take it. But at 66%, he said he can be Christian and honest enough to say, okay, how can I improve? Not boot him out the door. That's number one. I mean, that's that. So when I made this, not once was I contacted. Not once was this brought up. This may have come up in council, but they chose to ignore me. And believe me, all my life, people have tried to ignore me. Never again. I'm sorry. I stand by idly, and it went too far. And no saying, oh, Charles, you know, we talked about it. They decided not to bring it up. They decided that even after following the Constitution to the letter, and many of you signed, not once was it brought up to me, to the church, and it was put down by council. So if I cannot trust council to fulfill one article, this whole thing looks great. If I can't get them to enforce one article, then how can I trust the last three councils, how can I trust this council to follow and future to follow the Constitution? If you don't follow the Constitution, this is worth nothing. Thank you for letting me see my piece. But I do love you all. Okay?
Likewise. So, Charles, I think you and I will have a talk. Well, I don't want to hash that up right now because just that that you and I did discuss it several times. And it was brought up at the AGM 2 years ago.
It was?
Yes, it was, sir.
Nobody told me.
You and I had a conversation in that hallway right there.
I wanted to say something about it. You and I had a conversation.
Correct. So, just to recap our
That's fine.
Yep. Okay. That's fine. I likewise, I'm not saying that that wouldn't be the case, because everyone here, everyone's voice deserves to be heard. And as we discussed 2 years ago, that I asked you if it was okay if I tabled your amendment request as we were working on a redefinition of the Constitution. We agreed at that time that it would be okay if I tabled that and set it aside while we worked on the new Constitution.
And it was never brought up. Never fully gone. You tabled
during,
it and never brought it up again.
No, we did. We did bring it up several times. No? Sorry, sir. Okay, you know, I'm not gonna, what I am going to do is say I'm sorry that you feel that we have ignored you. Okay? I'm sorry that that is the situation that we are at today. Okay? What I am going to say is as we are moving forward, as we are looking at this proposed constitution, you can put forth that motion right now if you wish to make that change.
Okay. I would put forth a motion that says 75% or less than 75% is not an immediate dismissal, but to get better.
Okay, so...
So, the church can decide on the numbers. It's that, you know, 60-40 is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. They can decide on what number. But at what point does it mean immediate dismissal?
So, I think we do have to have that line. And I'm not going to speak for anyone other than myself. 75, I think, is the proper number for myself. Not just for us, but for the pastor as well. Now, that being said, one of the reasons it was looked at in the Constitution was because it was ambiguous in the previous Constitution. There was the call and the future, and all subsequent callings. That was ambiguous in the last, or in the current enforced edition of this Constitution. It was ambiguous. So what we tried to do was take some of that ambiguity out of it. Now, if you wish to make a motion, then I would ask you humbly to set a number. Because we can't have it ambiguous. It must be a line in the sand.
Okay?
Okay, so 66.7%.
That's right.
Or
between 60%. That and 75% is get better.
Yeah, so I realize the get better concept, but we do have to have the kind of the line in the sand.
But they can choose on their own.
I would.
They can make the choice whether they want to stay or go.
Right. And you're 100% correct about the choosing to stay or go concept. And I have heard over the years someone who said to me, if I got 75%, I wouldn't stay.
And that's
right? Because they feel they've lost the confidence in the congregation. That anything less than 85% would be unacceptable.
And
that is very fine.
Concern.
Correct.
That's not our concern. Our concern is peace in the church.
There is peace, of course. Absolutely. Peace, joy, joy, right?
In the church a few years ago.
There was, absolutely. Rob has his hand up, so I'll give Rob the opportunity to speak. Where's that microphone?
So just to ask clarification then, so we have a motion on the floor to change the number from 75% to 67%? Is that what it is right now?
Basically.
Yeah. Two-thirds. Do we have someone to second that?
Matt will second it. Okay. So Charles is putting forth a motion that, and let me just make sure I get the correct article number so that we can make sure this is done above board. Okay.
And I also say the conditions on that is that we consider that to be numbers, then that's their choice?
It's always their choice.
Right.
We do not have governance over their choices.
But we don't make that choice for them.
So what you're saying, so as it's written today, Charles, is the call is defined as such. A special committee, or I'll just read the call section.
Can you say which article?
Sorry, 706 point B, the call. A special committee known to be as the Pastoral Search Committee shall be appointed by church council whenever it becomes necessary to call a pastor. This committee will then search for a suitable candidate and make recommendation to the church council and through it to the membership meeting. To be carried, this recommendation requires the support of 75% of all votes cast at a membership meeting called for the purpose of deciding on the church council's recommendation. Upon approval and recommendation as stated, the church will, through its council, extend the call to the candidate being considered for pastorate. Now, if I...
Sorry, Chris. I just wanted to say the first line up. Thank you, Jasper.
Initially, for the first time out, 75% is the golden number. But in subsequent votes, if some people are having problems with any of our pastors, those can be remedied by having discussions with the minister. But anything less than 66% is immediate dismissal.
Okay, well, we will have to, based on what you're suggesting, correct,
right.
We would have to thereby rewrite article number 706.
Yes.
If the people here in this room today agree, right?
Okay, but this is for subsequential votes.
Right.
After the first time.
Understood, and I believe your initial request was similar to what you're saying now.
Yes.
Okay. So, I would prefer if you put the motion in your own words instead of me paraphrasing. I do not want anything to come back and say that I said it incorrectly. I would rather you say it in your own words. But remember, Charles, try to keep it as concise as possible
and simple.
Correct.
The KISS method, yes. Okay. Well, she can capture pretty good. My proposal is, in subsequential votes from the initial vote, that two-thirds of the congregation is needed in order to retain the pastor. Anything else, we can just add that it's room for improvement. But this is to retain the pastor, but there needs improvement. That's my proposal.
Okay. So I'll open that up for discussion. Now that was the motion. Again, I don't want to paraphrase because I don't want to get it wrong. But I believe first I'll let Janet speak. If Janet wishes.
I don't have the Constitution in front of me, and I haven't read it recently. Is there anything in the Constitution about there needing to be subsequential votes? Is there another way that we do reviews? Is there anything in the Constitution about the way we do pastoral reviews? I don't have it in front of me.
Okay.
That's where this should go, right?
Yeah,
not
absolutely.
With the first call.
Right. So the 706, item D, the pastor's initial term of service will be 2 years. During this term, a comprehensive evaluation will take place. Upon successful evaluation, a 3-year term and a further full evaluation will follow. Thereafter, a comprehensive evaluation will be conducted after a maximum of 5 years of service, or one or more of the following is true. A recommendation by church council, a signed petition by 5% of the membership, or the request of the pastor slash minister. Ongoing evaluations will be conducted at least annually by the council or its designates. Should the congregation or the pastor wish to terminate his or her services, the party wishing to terminate should normally give a minimum of 6 months notice of such intended termination. Now, that portion is very similar to what it is in the current enforced constitution.
And there's nothing in there about even needing a vote. There's an evaluation. Do we need to vote the pastor in every 2 or 3 years? Is there another way we can do that with the constitution the way it is now? There's nothing in there that says
this is
after
the
evaluation,
yeah.
We need to have a vote with 75 or 66 or whatever it is needed. Do we need to even have subsequent votes? Can we not use the evaluative process as a way to see whether this is still working or not? Getting better, whatever we need to do. I don't know. There's
true. 701.
That's where that part is located. It says that the membership meetings, all questions shall be decided by a simple majority vote with the following exceptions. And point number 2 is the first and subsequent call of the pastor minister requires a 75% vote. So what we need to do is change that article 2 as Charles proposes, if it's everybody's in agreement, that the first will be 75% and the subsequent will be 67%. I think that's, Charles, what you're saying, right?
And thank
okay,
you,
so that's in 7.01.
Yeah, sorry. I missed that section, so thank you for pointing that out. 701 works with 706 as well. You notice there's a number of other items in there, amendments of the Constitution, election of lay ministers, caregivers, etc. But that's where it actually is first and subsequent calls of pastors. Again, this is very similar to how it is in the current enforced Constitution. For example, we have already done the 2-year review for Pastor Gary, and in November we're going to be having a special meeting, which is at his 2-year mark, roughly, to have a vote to continue for the next 3-year portion of his term, because he's finished his first 2 years. And so that we're following along what is currently enforced and what we're hopefully going to be putting in. Now, so that would be 701 point number 2. The wording would be such that it would be the first call of a pastor slash minister requires a 75% vote, and any subsequent calls of the pastor slash minister requires a 67% vote. Is that a fair way to word that? Okay. So, and please, I want you to speak up. The motion as it stands right now, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to call it the article so that I don't put it in the wrong spot. Okay? The motion as it stands right now would be to amend Article 701, point number 2, to read, the first call of the pastor slash minister requires a 75% vote, and any subsequent call of the pastor slash minister requires a 67% vote.
Correct.
Correct.
Okay. Find out what it is the congregation needs.
Okay. So, and anyway, anyone wants to word that, that's fine. But if the minister decides to stay, then a small committee will be convened, probably the same committee that voted them in, poll the members, ask them what they need, what they want, and how they can improve. Okay? This happened once in Atlanta. And he was thinking of leaving after the vote, but he had the right to stay, and he's been the pastor of that church for more than 20 years, and I forgot his name, but he's well-revered within the Christian community. So that was the point I was trying to make.
Okay.
So the committee can be at another time.
Okay. Now, there's a couple first... Right here, yes.
I think it's time that you move on.
So we do have a motion. Matt, are you still a seconder? Okay. So you're calling for a vote at this point. Is that correct? The only thing we did have, Rob had his hand up as well, so I'll give him an opportunity. Okay.
No, I was going to say similar things. I think we can vote. I think I would keep the proposed amendment simple and straightforward. There are mechanisms already in the Constitution for doing reviews annually of the pastors. So I think that, Charles, would be the place and time to deal with whatever issues there may be or not issues with the pastor. I don't think we need to add it to that 701 section. Just keep it clean as far as percentage is concerned, and let's vote. I'm good to vote.
Go ahead. Alfreda?
Okay, if I put myself in the minister's position, would I want to have that, like, stay if I was 64%,
65%? Well, you know, that's up to the pastor to make that call. As I stated, you know, I've heard in recent years that some would not even stay for 85%. Okay? Simply because, you know, either it wasn't working for them or it wasn't working for the congregation or both. And I would hope that we would never get into a situation like that, but it may happen. These are just the guidelines. These are the rules, not guidelines. These are the rules that we have to live by. And thereby, any pastor that would be ministering to us here would live by as well. So we have the motion. We have Matt Lage was going to second that motion. Did you want to read it back one time, Ruth?
Okay. Motion regarding subsequential votes, that 2/3 or 67% of the congregational vote is needed in order to retain the pastor.
I don't want to be too technical, but 67% is not 2/3.
Well, yeah, I would say we're doing 67 elsewhere in the Constitution. It might, for continuity's sake, it might make more sense to just leave it at 67. Pardon me? Well, we'll call it 67. Does that make sense? Is that fair, Charles?
Yeah.
Because it's... lay ministers we're treating separately, though. So, yes, we treat lay minister as a separate item. 67% then? And Charles, are you okay with that 67% number? No, but you're putting forth the motion.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
You're good for that? In this case... Are we good with a show of hands, or do we wish to have a secret, an actual ballot on this? Well, Ernie would like to speak. Ernie says show of hands. Are we okay with that? Okay. And Jeff is seconding. Well, that may, at least I know we don't need a ballot for that one, right? Okay. So, therefore, the Article 701, point number 2, will be the proposal or the motion is made by Charles Lage, seconded by Matt Lage, to change the wording to the first call of the pastor slash minister requires 75% vote, and any subsequent call would require a 67% vote. You're good with that, Charles? Okay. Perfect. Okay. So all those in favor? Okay, so I'm counting 29, 30, 31, 32. I'm thinking 32 hands at this point in time.
That's 67%.
Of our 86. Just do a quick calculation. So I don't make a mistake. It would be 57 rounding up, 57.6 or 58. We can, since it's on the high side of 0.5, round up to 58 would be our number required to carry the motion. So just to be sure we have it correct, I would like you all to raise your hands again. And Ruth, if you wouldn't mind double-checking my number, okay? And we'll go from there, okay? So just keep your hands in the air, please. Okay. On my second count, I count 36. Leave your hands up. Ruth is still counting. You count 37. I counted 36. Okay. So at that point, it doesn't carry enough votes to be passed. Okay. Just to be... I don't think we need to have the nays at this point since we didn't have enough yays to continue. So just thinking of that. So with that not passing, then the wording as it stands in there right now will stand. Okay? And that is that the first and subsequent call of the pastor slash minister requires a 75% vote. Thank you. Absolutely. Please, feel free. Now, Abe, I also want to ask, Abe, did you have your hand up to say something, or was your hand still up from the voting?
He was voting, yes.
Voting? Okay.
Oh, I just want to thank the congregation for a fair hearing. Thank you.
Well, my mind was sort of, shouldn't we check both the yes and the no's?
We can certainly do the we can certainly do the no's, and we'll count.
Because some people just might be abstaining.
True. So I counted 36. Ruth counted 37. We'll take the 37 number. And so all those opposed to the motion, and please raise your hands and leave them up until I say so, please. I counted 29. You counted 27. 30s. How did I miss 10? So this time I get 35, so apparently I can't count. Okay, 37. Okay, so abstaining would be about, that would be 74, there would be about 12 abstaining. Okay, thank you. Are there any other points that anyone would like to bring up at this point in time? I'm going to ask three times just to be sure. Are there any other points that anyone would like to bring up or discuss at this point in time? And my third and final time, is there anyone who would like to bring up any points for discussion at this point in time? And I know I worded it three different ways, I apologize, but not seeing any hands then, I would like to call for a motion to accept the Constitution as it is written. And if there is a seconder, it's up to you to make that call. Okay, so I saw three hands go up right away. So, Abram, right? No. Ferd. Okay, Ferd had his hand up first. And the second one, I believe, was Ingo, followed closely by Rob. So Ferd will make the motion to accept the Constitution as it is written today. Ingo will second that motion. At this point, it will be an actual ballot. So we will pass out some ballots. Just give us a couple of minutes and we'll pass those out. And all we're looking for is a yes or a no answer. Okay? Okay. So as we're passing out those ballots, again, I just want to reiterate, because it's been mentioned to me, there's some points of clarification that need to be made. The motion on the floor is to accept the proposed Constitution as it is written and has been distributed. The motion was put forth by Ferd and seconded by Ingo. This will be a straight yes or no vote. If you wish to abstain, then hand in your ballot with nothing written on it at that point in time. Okay. Is there any ambiguity in that statement? Does anyone have a understand what we're trying to put forth here? Okay, so we're collecting those. Once we have them all collected, then myself, Ruth, and Tricia, Rudy, you should be there as well, please. Any member of council that is currently present should be there for the count so that we can make sure we have everyone's in agreement as to what those numbers are. So those numbers, again, for 75% then, to care, or actually in this case, is it 67? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. So the results of the vote are as follows. 82 for the yes, 4 for the no, and 0 abstains. At that point, that most the constitution would be accepted and adopted. Do I have a motion to destroy the ballots? Okay. Okay. A lot of hands went up. So, right here. Sorry. And I'm bad with names. I'm sorry. Nick. Okay. And seconder? Ferd's hand went up. He's the first I saw. So. Okay. All those in favor? Any opposed? Okay, seeing none opposed, the ballots will be destroyed. Thank you, everyone, for all of your input, for all of your hard work, for your patience in this process, and have a good rest of your day. For all the baby boomers, enjoy your lunch.